I have your message. If you want to dance, please go off with my forces of magic. And I'm going to ask you some of the questions Mr. Hill wants to know. My name, incidentally, is Desmond Leslie, who also wrote part of that book. George, the first question that people seem to be asking is about your experiences of your sources. Now, where those contacts, those journeys you made, are you sure you took them in the physical body and not in some form of dream condition? I understand the so-called dream condition. I understand the so-called metaphysical concept of things, for I have given much study to that too to find out what it's like or what the whole thing is about. And I must admit, state here definitely that this is just as physical as we are here present. Just as physical as I went in an automobile and was riding there. That's how physical it was. There was no psyche or any dream of any kind connected with it, whatever. I see. What do you do to prove to yourself that it was so? Well, after all, I have drank and ate with them, and I have butt corners as I was moving across because they're quite amazing when surprising to the situation.
Yeah.
And I'd be looking at them, we should have bought something, and all good things.
So let's put it this way. When my spirit is here, some of these projections of their call appear to be absolutely real, but usually they take place after the person's gone to bed. Then they imagine they wake up. Now, in your case, you're to a true continuation of consciousness from the time you arrived in Los Angeles, went into the hotel, and then met the space people, and then went aboard the saucer.
Very, very conscious, I would say. I couldn't be any more conscious than that. If I'd be less conscious than that, I'll be dead.
And I think you didn't get the bed in between.
Not at all.
It's an absolute continual consciousness.
That's right. It's absolute. It's just as physical as physical could hope to be.
Again, though, didn't you on the last trip take two American scientists along with you?
Yes, I have. And I just wish that I could reveal their names, but in these days, men have jobs that are very well secured, and they're under secrecy for a plan, and to betray their confidence, which they place in one, it would be the dirtiest thing that a man could do, jeopardizing their position and knowledge. And they have told me, when the conditions get so that they can reveal, they will come out with the statement, what they've seen, and so forth. But there's one thing, Desmond, that I want to say about this, it's funny.
Yeah.
And that is, that I understand, as I can analyze, that they must have given the information they have gotten on this trip to the officials of our government on these grounds. Up to that time, none of our planes could go through an atomic cloud and survive once the explosion of an atomic bomb took place. They were right after it, especially. As soon as the cloud was created, and on this occasion, which is the last testing of the upper flag, here they are, planes went up with pilots in them, went through the atomic cloud right after the explosion, and come down and never were affected, I understand. And I also been told that the ship's been washed after they landed, but I later learned that they didn't necessarily have to be washed, that the very power which protected those ships that fly through atomic clouds, when we exploded that as the spaceships do, fly immediately over there through the atomic cloud not affected, we have employed it. This was decided after us, and they have asked me about it.
Yeah, they asked you
too. Yeah, they asked me how it's done.
Mm-hmm.
And it would seem that we have learned to do that.
So, how much notice did you give those two scientists if you know them a few weeks before that it might
be? No, I haven't. I didn't even know their names.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know who they were or anything. These people gave me their names, and I went to telephone call, and they were just as much amazed as I was, but since that was an opportunity,
it's about a minute you were there to call.
Well, we had 20 minutes time, you might say, between the time that I call them and then get them down to the place where we go to the show.
I'm George, I can personally substantiate that, because I remember that evening, I was staying in Los Angeles, and you came in for the hotel, and make sure that we were sitting tall at the lounge for about a week for your contact. And he suddenly said, look, I've got to go and ring up these two guys. He went out and made a phone call. And that at the time, as he was ringing up, it was likely to be the space terminal. He told me they were coming for you. And because you didn't ring them up, they were you. And then I had quite unsure. I went off shortly after that. And now you linked it up. And I had a lecture for him. And anyway, I went beyond that one anyway.
Yeah, I was just there in hope that they would have asked you to go around, but I guess maybe the reason why they didn't, because you did have a lecture, which is an obligation.
Sure. Well, also, I couldn't have given the lecture tour this year, because my lecture tour, I'm giving is a very nasty folks lecture, with no personal experience in it whatever. It's purely actual proof of it. The theory, which is very important. And the moment they give me a trip, that I keep very, very quiet about it, I can't resist the lecture. I say, that's right, that's great. And somebody don't do me wrong, what I call a word, about, do you have any photos taken?
Well, the only photos that there is available right now are those that were in both books.
Yeah, the only photos taken close up.
Shorter than that,
yes.
No,
so I think that every photo on the surf has taken place has that ugliness.
Well, because this, what do you call it, field force, known as a field force now,
yeah,
it radiates from the body of the ship outwardly, like, well, it almost brings the same idea, except not as heavy, as you would try to take pictures through water.
Yeah,
that's about the same
idea. Yeah, I believe that that is one way, I think, of judging a genuine picture.
It wouldn't be
a telescopic picture.
Yeah,
well, provided that, because your camera was at a distance.
That's right. You see telescopic pictures of this. Mm-hmm. And I think the telescopic pictures were taken at 2,500 feet, which had a chance to avoid that resolution after the camera. But you came right up close to it. We had a case like that within 50 feet, and the whole thing was just blurred.
Like that is.
Yeah. Now we have another question here. What is there in such a long life on Venus? Well, long life on Venus should not have been a mystery, for it was only 2 years ago down here in San Francisco, the Medical Association had a convention of what they call a medical instrument. And they made a statement, which is well published in all of our papers down here, that if it wasn't for our consciousness, the human body as it is today could live on for 800 years, right here in this world. Well, consciousness covers an awful big deal.
Well, they found out now exactly what causes death, and that is old age. It's a cell. Each cell is a little living individual, which after dies,
that's right,
matter.
When it gets old, the walls between them do carry away this great product, so everybody clogs up and then it hits.
Now, if they can find an enzyme or an injection or a frequency treatment that will clear up this stuff between them, they'll be able to bring an old man back to their youth.
And I know
from a life ago, the hundreds of years, they may even find it.
Well, you speak of a young man. When we grow intelligently, if we should be growing intelligently by daily living anyway, we should add the sound good to our daily life from time to time. I would say something like this. Let's look at the picture of light. Does light itself have light?
No
way it is.
No,
it doesn't. Of course, then when you live the proper method of life which God has put for us to learn and live, we will not know any age either. And these people have learned that, yet we read also in our Bible, where Methuselah has lived 900 some odd years at some time, and so forth. Now, there's a speaking here of thinking of race. Well, it's quite possible and quite logical to assume that when there's a cloud formation casted over the earth, known as a firmament or something like that, that would filter out some of the deadly rays that we know nothing about yet, that our bodies are not accustomed to or to be able to absorb. And right now, we haven't got that. As they had it in those days when they speak in the Bible of those long years of life and so forth, naturally, those
say we are affecting us. But who is to say that if we continue that way for some time, that our body might not be adjusted in reverse and go on the wrong way again?
Well, this is a must. This may be the way we expect cosmic radiation. We may set up tension.
That's just a danger. And here, in the end,
here is a show that man can drink toxic acid and eat nails and molds when that suitably is our mind who receives them.
That's right. But you see, as far as these rays are concerned right now, naturally they would do more damage to us today. Even the normal rays would do us more damage pounding against our bodies, because some of the person relaxes even going to bed today. The world is in a high state of tension, and the more tense they are, the greater resistance they put up to the rays that one time probably have not known. Because you go back to 1910, for instance, they used to work hard, but they also played easily, and was quite relaxed. But when they left the business house, they went to bed, they were relaxed. But today they don't relax even in bed. Now here we have another question regarding the large ship. How do the occupants go from one to one into another? Very good question. I shall answer. Our big large ships, which we have yet not given the information on, which I have, that are larger than anything that has been given to the public of flying through space, that never come close to Earth, and even those that are what we call large, you don't have to walk in them. They got little conveniences on the magnetic rails that take you from place to place and from a level to a level in those ships. Just the same as our elevators do, as well as tracks down on which they ride from one end to the other. They do not do too much walking, although they be very much an exercise. Now we have another statement here, a question to be answered. Bible students claim not to believe in flying saucers. Of course, I can understand that very easily. I contact a lot of them because they don't know their Bible. That's why they don't believe in it. Because they say,
let us not aside, say, some Bible.
Yeah, some Bible do not like. It says that the Bible doesn't mention them. Well, naturally, we don't mention, year after year, we keep changing names for some one thing, and different each time. So on the times of the biblical history, well, they were called something else. They were called clouds. They were called, for an example, let us put this, of a Bible in the context with this one. Ezekiel chapter 1, which is 2,555 years ago it happened. Actually happened 555 years before the birth of Jesus. Well, or maybe longer, but it was written at that time or the recorded. We find here that he called it creatures. Today we call the same thing flying saucers or spaceships.
But he describes the wheel with no wheel.
That's how he
down in the world with
no wheel. That's
how it's 18 months.
That's right.
Sir, yes, they should look up at me.
Why, sir, there are 350 cases in the Bible, but today it's named flying saucer or a spaceship. And that appears at different times. So the Bible student, if he doesn't believe, that's because he doesn't know his Bible. But if he studies his Bible carefully, he will find 350 cases in reference to what we term today flying saucers or a spaceship.
And he might be saying, have a Hebrew Bible, and a Hebrew scholar, they might read the original and see that how near the original in Hebrew and the Hebrew is nearer than the various English translations. Describes this pulsing light and this great noise of the wheels going up into the sky. Perfect description of a saucer.
Now, another question here about that. Well, it's explaining of Adam and Eve. One question there of Adam and Eve is quite a puzzling question, isn't it, to everyone? Yet we must admit that they have been brought here, or they've been placed here, or something happened, like the Peak of Enoch, let's see. There's a statement here in reference to Cain and his wife. That's it. Cain and his wife. Well, where is the land of love? Well, I'm inclined to believe, my own personal opinion now, I'm inclined to believe then that land of not almost means like a land of nothing, which there might be up there in the sky. We don't know, because we assume that to be nothing, and it is something that we don't understand.
That was the question.
And that is, where did Adam and Eve come from?
Cain.
how do you explain the enemy in this question?
Well, the interesting job, the enemy may have been the first native Earth or ever got it referred to earlier races because things don't turn me out because any stranger that meets me may kill me, admitting that our race is running around.
Mm-hmm.
So the enemy may be the symbol of the first purely earthly race.
That is quite possible, and that's the way I'd rather take it too.
I mean, look at America. You have the Native Americans, the Indians, the India, and then you have these white people coming in ships from another world, the old world, coming up the new world. Now they've blended together, and they are all Americans. You know, they're living in a way of two distinct races.
Yes, and well, it says the sons of God who came down and took the daughters of Mary.
They gave it names of celestial race, the space race, and a purely celestial or earthly race.
Well, you see, I have a statement here that was published in the San Diego Rancher magazine that comes out once every 3 months. It was amazing to read down here that even down here, only a little ways from us, Mount Hamilton is described near St. Marcus, where they speak of the Indians who were brought in from other states, landed on this mountain, and then these people that brought them in distributed them and told them to go around the territory. Now, whether that's true or not, we don't know, but at least that's been carried down and it's been recorded well enough, at least to be written up.
When it maybe a race mentioned the same thing. But if you get back to the fundamental, if man is an eternal and a space being, actually moving through the universe, developing planets, you will get spacemen coming in, migrants, immigrants, and then you will get natives rising up, developing from the lower kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And if both Darwin is partly right, and the spacemen not is partly right, they both blend in time.
To answer this question here, to Mr. Brickwell, the space people have told me this, that just as the cells in the human body die and others are born, to keep that body going, to take their place, as they die, others are born, we find that the universe is the same. There are many planets there that are ended on the basis of this integration, like Alpha have a beginning and an ending, and others are coming in. And while it's not a forceful situation, but it's a volunteer system, through those that understand,
yes,
that people move out from other planets to populate the new planet in the years they're going, just the same as probably this one started, or like the Americas started when the people from Europe finally found that there was America and start coming this way and populated the good old USA.
Yes.
And fulfilled a very big
prophecy of divine plan.
That's right.
Found the world.
Mm-hmm. Man seeks to be the keeper of Father's garden.
Yes.
This was the Father's garden. I would put it that way.
The garden.
Yeah. Well, I would say that who is to say where they come from? In mere fact, the king got his wife from someplace, there was somebody there besides Adam to produce this wife, to bring the wife into manifestation. Then as we go along, also saying where it's quoted where the sons of God came down and took unto themselves the daughters of men. Well, all right, maybe at that time there was some more brought out from faith, which is an admission that they were able to ascend, migrate from one planet to another and take on other planetary ideas as well as intermarry.
Yes.
So, what prevents them from taking place today?
I mean, you cannot travel as a river. I mean, fact of Genesis was one of the sacred esoteric books. In the old days, it was never read publicly. It was kept in the tabernacle because it's written more as a formula than a concrete statement. The moment it became public and was read as a formula, misinterpretation happened. Just at this beginning, when the parables were given, the disciples took them as concrete facts. Until Jesus explained they were formula with a deep truth inside.
That's right.
They were Genesis, where it says a day, it means a great cosmic period, tremendously.
Yeah. upgrade is highly scientific.
But you see, what we overlook is this, that even we ignore Jesus' teaching on these grounds, where Jesus even said to his disciples, which was already a man that's supposed to understand his position and the services that he has to render. And he said, I feed you with milk and not with meat, because he realized that he could take a certain amount of information, but the heavier and deeper information they could not get. And we are in that position today. And he went further, you remember the act, to tell them many other things, but tell them not to reveal them.
That's right. He tell them a lot of private information.
Well, he knew they couldn't give out public things.
That's right.
But the church has kept that.
Well,
it's amazing, though, that the brothers with whom I have spent much time and getting forces well spoke and got me much more material yet have told me things like that, too. So we cannot reveal it as a public field. Well, we'll not be able to accept it as easily as they should. And surely the infrastructure would not at all. And it would be more sarcastic than anything. So I had to keep a lot of things back. I can understand that.
You can see it all. Obviously, I mean, there's still people who say you photographed the lampshade and hypnotized Lucy and Alice to see a spaceman.
But I'd like to know what powers I possess to hypnotize the camera to take the picture of the space ship.
Yeah.
I didn't know that a man possessed this kind of power to be able to hypnotize a camera.
And Trevor is a producer first, which experts have said he's taken to a telephoto lens on a very large object. Now, a lot of people are asking me the question, why are you keeping the secret the names of the men you mentioned, which are scientists in your book? Why do you keep this and that secret? Well, after all, when we give a word of trust to our fellow beings, we should be big enough to keep it. And I drew that process because I have never yet revealed any name of any man that would jeopardize his position. I have been given information from a doggone good sources because of it, and because I kept my word. Well, the people are anxious, it's true, and they want more definite answers and concrete and something of a notory nature. Well, I just wish sometimes that I could, but I do hate to break the trust which is placed in me, as I do hate to break the same trust to do something that people say, now why don't you snap a picture of a spaceman when he stands before you? Well, I'd be breaking the trust he placed in me. If he told me, well, now I'm ready, you can take my picture, I'll do it. But if he tells me not to, I'm surely not going to do it.